So, I'm not going to be telling you much about OpenStreetMap, thankfully, because I've been telling you for so long, it's starting to get a bit dull even for me. But I'm going to tell you about open data, because it's a way without leave, and we need it. But firstly, we need to stop saying open, because I keep on getting emails from Richard Stallman saying that it should be free. And I'm not joking. So here's some open data. These are ones you've probably heard of before. DNA is mostly open at the moment. But there was a strong push to close it all off not so long ago. Wikipedia, you've almost certainly used, but you might not have used OpenStreetMap. So what I'm going to do is give you a little introduction to that. OpenStreetMap lets you take around a GPS unit, which records your location like a little trail of breadcrumbs as you go around. It aggregates that trace that you might make with traces other people make, and this is one animation to show people moving through London, for example. So these are 3 days in a London courier company. The day starts off, it's about 9 o'clock. They start driving around. They have a break for lunch. They drive around some more. Then they might go to the pub or go home, and then about 11 o'clock, they go home from the pub. If you aggregate all of this together, if you aggregate all this stuff together, then you get a nice map. You get a map that is not complete, it's not perfect, because obviously you're relying on where these people are going or where your volunteers are specifically going. But you get something approaching a half-decent map of London. If you then draw on top of that and you tag it with stuff, then you start to get maps that look a bit like this. This is a little bit of a unique example. The streets you see, this is Copenhagen actually, just outside. The streets at the top you see will have been mapped exhaustively by some people, going around on a bike or in their car or whatever with a GPS, coming home every day, updating this. It's an iterative process. They won't have mapped the entire thing in a day. And then there's the airport data, which I believe is public domain data that we've imported, and even all those taxiways are correct and so on. And then we can share this, and we release it for free, much the same way that Wikipedia works. You get a bunch of people writing, you aggregate all this stuff together. Our analogy of a spelling mistake might be someone doing the wrong name for a road or putting it one way when it's in fact two ways, stuff like that. And then we just give it away for free. So you can do routing with this kind of stuff. Or change it, which you can't do with commercial data. And there's going to be an OpenStreetMap workshop tomorrow lunchtime. This will do exactly what I've just shown you. We'll provide you with GPS units. You can go walking around Brussels or skating or running or whatever you prefer to do. Bring them back, and we can integrate all the traces into a map, tag it up, and release that data for free. And by doing these little workshops all around the place, we generate a map of the whole of Europe and then hopefully the whole of the world. There's an awful lot more data in, for example, the UK than there is in Spain and so on. So we're trying to make it much more European than it already is. Back to open data. Open data tends to come from three places. It comes from governments, but not mainly European governments. In the US, the federal government has to release everything it does public domain, which means that you get awful lots of stuff. You get various things the military do, the Census Bureau do, all sorts of statistics. What's the example I'm thinking of? Tiger. A complete map of the whole US is released for free, for example. But it's mostly static or falling. They're not suddenly, European governments aren't throwing open their doors and just releasing all of their data. Very much the opposite. If anything, they want to close it off, because in Europe we have a much more interesting view on profits in government and our government departments competing in the private sector. And we like them to keep their data so that they can sell it back to us and make their money that way rather than through direct taxation and then just releasing the data. It also comes from academia. Academia has a much longer history of releasing data, almost hundreds of years now. But that also is closing off, because all of our universities, particularly in Europe, particularly in the UK, don't have any money, and the government doesn't really want to give them any money. So they're starting to charge tuition fees, and they're starting to charge for services that they otherwise would have given away as free, such as releasing research data. You can have the paper for free as long as you pay the copyright to Nature or whatever, but you can't have that data unless you're a very specific user and you convince them that you want it. And then there's you, which is growing much, much more quickly. There's lots of people just contributing open data, whether it's Wikipedia or OpenStreetMap or other projects, all the time. So the first one is firm or market-based, and I'll come on to a definition of these in a second. And the second two are peer-based. These are peer productions. So when we talk about open data, I'm really talking about peer-produced open data, because the data released by governments and by companies tends to be just sealed off, a bit like Mozilla. They just release the source code to Mozilla, and then it becomes a peer-based production. So there's an excellent paper called Cosas Penguin, which talks about commons-based peer production. And it has the three things that this guy thinks you need for this kind of production of data. They are non-monetary motivation, discrete multi-size pieces, and low-cost integration. And you can sort of summarize those as it has to be fun, it has to take not very much time, and it has to be easy. So if you consider Wikipedia, it's mostly fun. It takes less than a minute to make an edit or change a statement or put a full stop in somewhere. And it's pretty easy. It could be a lot easier, but it's pretty easy. And where does it go? It doesn't tend to go back to government, but it does go to lots of companies. Lots of companies base their products off of open data or public domain stuff that they find lying around the world. Academia uses it a little bit, but they produce a lot more than they use. And you use lots of data. Wikipedia has insane traffic numbers now that people are using this stuff. And that will increase with OpenStreetMap and DNA, for example. This is a bit of a scary statement to make in this audience, but I'm going to posit that open systems are a done deal. If you go and download an Ubuntu CD and put it in your computer, it works. You can write your documents, you can make your presentations, you can browse the web, all that stuff. It just works. That wasn't the case even a year ago. And so I'm going to posit, for these purposes, and glossing over a lot of things, that open systems are a done deal. But I'm also going to say that open data is very much not, for example, OpenStreetMap. Even Wikipedia, although lots and lots of articles, there's still got to be a quality increase sometime soon. I think of open data as a pure necessity, in the same way much I think that open systems like Linux were a pure necessity in the beginning. Because there isn't any open data, so that tends to cut you off in lots of ways. So, for example, in Europe, OpenStreetMap was created because there was no open mapping data. So you either have to pay lots and lots of money to a government to get the map data and then not even be able to do anything with it that you might otherwise be able to do. And if you don't have that money, you can't really do anything. So it's just natural that these things will spring up. It's stopping us from doing cool stuff. And the very specific example here is that we're reaching the limit of what we can do with just pure open systems. The reason OpenStreetMap started was there's a piece of software called GPS Drive that allows you, like a TomTom unit, to drive around with a GPS with your Linux laptop and show you where you are on your map. But it gets the map data from a copyrighted source. It's Microsoft. And it was just little pictures. So you have to go online, download a lot of pictures, drive somewhere. It couldn't do the routing for you, which is a bit annoying because they're just pictures. And then if you drove off the edge of the pictures you downloaded, you don't have any data. So that's kind of suckful, but it's all you can do if you're in Europe and you like open source hacking, unless you want to buy a proprietary unit that you can't do anything with. So the answer, of course, is to make our own map data, which is exactly what OpenStreetMap does. Open data isn't as cumulative as open source, as open systems, I should say. There are a lot of people who think they need 100% data in order to get anywhere. That wasn't the case with Linux. You could have a shell, and then you could make a windowing system, and then you could make a browser. You could evolve the system in those kind of ways. With open data, a lot of people won't use your map data unless you have map data for the whole of your country, or at least the whole of your city. And that is actually quite hard to get to that kind of level of granularity. That is one problem. The other problem is to convince them that they don't need 100% complete data. For example, convince them that they only need motorways and so on. Everything's being closed off in open data. A lot of people are treating copyright as property and other intellectual property terms, as I'll come on to, so that you can use basic economics. If you start treating these things as property, then they work better in your head. Open data is not creative, though. Mostly, if you go around walking with a GPS to create a map or you sequence some DNA, that is not in itself a creative work, depending on your legislative framework. So data is property. Infringement is not theft. And this is what we get. At the moment, they're trying to close a lot of things off, particularly you've seen big increases in copyright law, but our way around this is to use things like the GPL and other open slash free slash whatever you like licenses. In open source, we don't tend to talk about patents and trademarks because they kind of don't apply. But then in the European Union, we have a thing called the database right, which was to patch a hole in copyright, where people collecting big databases of facts or numbers or streets, for example, who were worried that they weren't covered by copyright, created the database right, which is an extension of copyright. That means these things are copyrighted, I believe, for 15 years. And we don't really have anything that, does that. And that's really what we're doing at OpenStreetMap. The base data itself is very questionable whether it's copyrightable, but it can be in the it can have a database right. So it's not clear. This definitely does apply to OpenStreetMap, but that's worrying. So I'll give you a quick comparison between the UK and the US, specifically with geodata. I've glossed over a lot of details here, just a few, but price goes up, quality goes up, and I'm going to use a percent. Quality can mean whatever you want it to mean here. It can mean amount of data or coverage of data or if it has every single road in the States or whatever. So that thing at the bottom right, that's Tiger. That's data that's zero cost, released by the federal government. And then stuff that costs more tends to increase the quality of that stuff that's released by the government because they don't do a particularly good job of mapping. And then they charge you a little bit for that work. So generally that stuff is derived from the freely available data. In the UK, we have something that looks like this. There's the Ordnance Survey, who are an effective monopoly on mapping data in the UK. It costs an awful lot of, money, but it is almost 100% complete, if not 110% complete, or whatever they claim. Because it has every single little bay window, every curb, every feature you could think of in the whole of the UK that's about this big or smaller, or slightly bigger, sorry, is in this map. So you have a choice between that and before OpenStreetMap, nothing. So OpenStreetMap now has a little bit of quality, but at zero cost. I'm leaving one thing out there, and that's ex-copyright data. In the UK, map data drops out of copyright into the public domain after 50 years, but it's very debatable as to how useful a map from 50 years ago is. It doesn't have motorways on it, it doesn't have airports on it, and so on. But it might be useful in a historical context or in some very small areas that haven't changed, like at the centre of an old city, for example. So by moving up that quality ladder, we've become useful to the people who had nothing before but don't really have the money to pay the OS. And our quality will only increase, not necessarily minute on minute if someone decides to delete a lot of roads, but it will increase week on week, month on month. And what that will force, I think, the OS to do is to drop their prices. They will have to, because we will, at some point, reach a turning point where most people are happy with the quality of data that we will be able to provide, and they'll have to drop the prices. But we've seen this before. Again, I'm just a little bit glossing over some things, but there was a time when Linux wasn't very useful, the quality was quite low, and the quality of Windows, that's 1991 or something, was much higher. And that's, again, debatable. Linux has been improving in quality and continues to. Linux as a system, GNU Linux, etc. And Windows has been dropping in price. If you think about it as price per feature, that's their only way of competing there, right? Because they can't really drop the price. But you can critique all of this stuff, but they're probably arguments you've heard before, especially if you talk to anyone who doesn't know about Wikipedia. The first one will be, you can't trust it. Someone will go in and say President Bush is a monkey, or that the space race never happened, and so on. My answer to all of these things is either to ask the audience who uses Encarta and who uses Wikipedia. I won't even bother because you'll all put your hands up for Wikipedia. Or just to ask them, please go and use Wikipedia. The other one, it will never be as big, which is just astounding looking at the number of articles there. So there are responses to open data that you can use if you have a lot of money invested in closed data. The first one is to look the other way. Lots of people are deriving data off of Google Maps, Yahoo Maps, and so on. They're deriving data off of very expensive copyrighted works that they're not really allowed to do, especially if they redistribute that data in bulk, as many do. Specifically, there are license terms in these things that say you are not allowed to do this, but no one's been sued yet. So you can just look the other way. The other one, if you're Disney, you enact or use bad laws to try and sue 12-year-old girls for downloading a Britney Spears song, that kind of thing. If you're IBM, or there's many other examples, if your product suddenly becomes a commodity, which is what we're talking about, data suddenly being ubiquitous, then you can move up the chain, which is what people do with Tiger. They take the basic data and they augment it, or they do special things that you might want done with that data. And the other one, much more interesting and nicer way, is just to release a non-commercial license. Most people do not really care about open data in the same way they don't really care whether Linux is open or free or BSD or GPL. They just want something they can use, right? You want to write a book or a play or whatever. Most people just want a map. They don't really care about all this stuff, which is why they use Google Maps rather than OpenStreetMap, right? if you just release all this data non-commercially, then it's not going to hurt you. If the Audience Survey tomorrow was going to release all of their map data, that would be absolutely great non-commercially, because it would immediately take away most of the calls. But it won't stop it. So I think, in the future, we need a movement that demands open data, just as we demand open code. And these are for practical, ethical, and political reasons. And there is a vast number of reasons that you've probably heard before if you've had anything to do with Linux or other open systems. Thank you for listening.